If Satan could have, I promise you, he already would have. This is going to be a very unique teaching, and I have an amazing story at the end of the message. Now, don't go to the end to hear the story, because you've got to hear all this. Have you ever come close to death, whether it was in a hospital, a heart attack, a car accident, a shooting? We could name 10 things. But somehow you were able to survive it. One of the greatest verses, and it's often when a minister is preaching, he'll quote this verse, he'll quote it real fast and then move on. But it's one of the greatest verses in the Bible, where on the Isle of Patmos, John sees Christ, and Christ tells him, "I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. I have the keys of death and hell." And the word keys there, we know, we picture Jesus swinging a gold key or something that's to a gate of the underworld. But in reality, what he is saying is, I have the authority over death, and I have the authority over hell. Many years ago, a man had a vision, and he saw death's door. Like there was a door that if you go through that door, you would enter into heaven, but you know, you wouldn't actually come back. That would be the end. It was the time you would depart. But he noticed something. He noticed that the, what he would call the handle, or the, that which brought you into the door, did not exist on this side. It existed on the heaven side. And I thought to myself when he said that, I said, you know, I wonder what that means. He said, I can tell you what it means. He says, Satan, in other words, has no authority on this side to open that door to cause you to enter. Death is in the control of Jesus, who is on the heavenly side, and he's the one that opens the door. And the Bible says, and that's not about death necessarily, but he does say, I've set before you an open door. And he says, I set before you a door that no man can open except me. And I have set before you a door that no man can close except me. So he has the authority and he has control of the door. So I'm going to go back to the original question. There are people, and I'm preaching this because I know the Lord gave me a word for a lot of people that are out there, that there are many of you that are listening to me right now, that not only do you feel this way, but the scripture does indicate that one of the greatest fears that a person has in life is the fear of dying, the fear of death, because we all want to fulfill our lifetime. We want to fulfill our assignments and our appointments, and we don't want them to be cut short. Now, during my lifetime, there has been some very unusual things that have happened to me where, honestly, had God not intervened, I would have never made it here. I would have never lived this long. When I was about 3 years of age, my father and mother, and there were two hitchhikers in the back, and I was on the front seat, or in the front seat of the car, standing up. There were no seat belts back in the early 1960s. And my dad said to my mom, "Juanita, make him sit down, because if we had an accident, he'd go through the windshield." Well, he topped a hill, and guess what? He hit a man, hit a truck from behind going 55 miles an hour. And he went to pass the truck, and there was a truck coming this way, so he'd have hit that other truck head on. We'd have probably been killed if that would have happened. But it knocked me against the dashboard. Mama said it knocked the shoes off my feet. I was laying on, you know, there was actually glass around because the windshield had cracked, front windshield. And she said she thought I was dead. And in her mind, because she broke her jaw in her mind, she said, "Lord, don't let my boy die." And she says, "I came back to, and I realized when they got me, when someone got me, they said I was crying for my shoe, my shoe, my shoe." And I thought, we've just been in a wreck and I'm worried about the shoe. But God spared me, okay? At age 14, I came down with, I actually was playing football at Kenmore Junior High School up in Arlington, Virginia area. And I love playing football, but I came down during the season in the month of October with meningitis. My mother worked for a Filipino doctor. At age 14, I had meningitis. And I actually took pain pills, as crazy as this sounds, and went out and they played me half the game because I played tight end and defensive end. When I got through, I came home and I thought my head was going to explode. And my dad had a revival going on that weekend with an evangelist, and that man prayed. I went to church and laid on the seat. I was so sick, and my head felt like pins and needles. And he prayed for me. I'll never forget. God healed me that night of that. And so that's a story in itself. But that would have been another, that could have turned bad, in other words. Age 18, I fell asleep driving from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, going to Jackson, Mississippi. And when I came to, this is before they put all that stuff in the road that would wake you up, you know, if you go off the road. And I, a hand hit me from behind, and I was jarred awake, and I was headed right toward the corner of an interstate bridge. My cruise was set, so that's the way that they did have cruise back then. And I remember I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what would have happened if I'd hit? And I jerked just in time to keep from hitting the bridge. At age 50, I lost a plane engine at 10,000 feet. That's, I'm going to tell you something about that, very interesting in a minute. And on July of 2024, something very strange happened to me. I was preaching in Montana at the reservation there, a great group of people, Navajo people. And before I flew out, I was very sick, and I had a temperature. And so I flew on the plane. Not public plane, because they wouldn't have let you on back then if they checked your temperature, but took our plane to King Air 2, Montana. They picked me up, and I literally stayed in the bed till I preached, came back and stayed in the bed, and I stayed in the bed. And so when they finally got to my temperature, I had to cancel the Sunday morning service. I was so sick. My temperature had peaked at 106 degrees, 106. So I come back to Cleveland, and I had pneumonia and I had flu. It didn't come out as COVID. It came out as a certain kind of flu. So I had a double whammy hit me at the same time. And something very, very strange happened at that point. I began to notice after I got better that something, the 106 degree temperature had damaged something. Now, I've never had this thoroughly examined to understand, but I lost information. There was about 3 or 4 years that of my daughter's life, my son's life, vacations we took, that it's as though it doesn't even exist. And people have to show, it's not dementia, by the way, but people have to show me pictures and start reminding me, and then very slowly it'll kick in. But there's other times I'll look at the pictures and can't remember a thing. Now, I can look before that time and tell you details. I can look after that time and tell you details. But they've told me that neurologically, the 106 degree fever did some damage to some neurons. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to try to explain that. Now, the question I have for you is, how many times should you be thanking the Lord that you could have died prematurely, and yet God kept you alive for a purpose and for a reason? And I believe, as I've preached over the past year or two, that there are assignments that you have that you will not leave the earth if you will. Now, here's the condition. You know, you can smoke and die early from cancer. You can drink and die in a car accident. You can do things to harm your body, to shorten your days. And the book of Ecclesiastes said, why should you die before the time? So you can do things related to your physical body, your health, your mind, a carelessness, for example, and you're careless and you die prematurely. You know, somebody hands you a pill. This has happened to people we know that's laced with fentanyl, and the person dies because the fentanyl killed them. They didn't know they were going to die. They had no plan of dying. They were not suicidal. And so there have been times that you need to thank God for what He didn't allow to happen to you. And many times you don't realize that you were under some kind of a divine protection from the Lord, that your time had not come. Now, let me give you the biblical example of this. How many times did Jesus escape danger in His ministry? Well, I'm going to share it with you. When He was immediately called to preach, He goes to Nazareth to preach His first sermon. This is His public ministry. And they became with such a hatred toward what He was saying, because He was basically telling this hometown crowd that probably had about 30 families living there, I'm the Messiah. And they had been raised with Him. Who's this kid? Who does the son of Mary and Joseph think He is? That's what they were saying. So in Luke 4:1-13, they tried to push Him off a cliff in Nazareth, but He went His way. He passed among them, and God supernaturally protected Him. That's the beginning of His ministry. Now, during His ministry, He's in a boat with His disciples, and He's headed across the Sea of Galilee, and He said to them, let us go over to the other side. When Jesus says us, it means everybody on the boat, right? Well, it says the boat is full of water. Now, a boat that's filled with water sinks. There are hundreds of boats under the Sea of Galilee, under the water, at the bottom of the lake. They found one time called the Jesus boat. It's on display at a kibbutz on the Sea of Galilee area. And when boats got full of water, they sunk. This one in Luke 8:23 did not sink because Jesus had a word, we're going to make it to the other side. In John chapter 8 and verse 50, Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem ministering, and the Pharisees became angry at something he taught, and they picked up stones to stone him, but they did not kill him, and it had no effect on him. In fact, he just got up and walked between them, and it's like the rocks were stuck to their hands. They couldn't do anything. And here's the reason. Luke 4, Luke 8, John 8. It says in John, his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come, John 7 and verse 30. But then in John 8, verse 20. But watch this. Pay attention now. When the hour of Christ had come, when the time came that his assignment, which was the whipping post and the scourging that we may be healed physically, Isaiah 53, and later the crucifixion that took place on the cross for our sins, that we would be given eternal life. When those two events, when the time came near Passover to fulfill those two events, watch what happens. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is beaten. Jesus is crucified. He dies. He's put in the tomb, but he raises at the end of the third day. Now, Jesus made this statement, and this is very powerful, and you've got to get, I'm going to tie this together here in a moment. Jesus told his disciples, the prince of the world, this is Satan now, is coming, but he has nothing in me, John 14 and verse 30. What does that mean? It means that Jesus was warning his disciples, excuse me for just a minute, that what you're about to see happen is not Satan doing it. Because Satan has nothing to do with what's happening. In fact, Satan didn't realize what was taking place, and I can prove it. And we're talking now about the crucifixion of Jesus and what was happening to him. Because the Bible says, if the princes of this world had have known, and that means known their defeat, known what was happening, known how they were going to be defeated, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Now think about that for a moment. So here's my point. Jesus is protected from premature death as long as it was not time for him to go. Because you see, judgment and death is an appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. So you may be sick with a disease that looks like it's killing you, but if it's not your time, you're going to come out of the hospital. Or you could be in an accident, but if it's not your time, and I'm talking about if you follow the Lord, you're following righteousness, you're doing your best to serve him, you have a certain level of a hedge of protection around you because your assignment is not yet finished. I have known ministers like my dad. He passed away at 78. T.L. Lowry passed away in his 80s. He may have been 87. And T.L. was still preaching when he was 84, 85, and 86. You know why? Because he said, I have to impart before I depart. I have to impart to this next generation. I have to leave the stories, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. And he wrote books and he wrote study guides because he wanted to leave. When he left this world, he wanted to leave his legacy to be the knowledge and information on the healings and the gifts of the Spirit that God gave him over many, many years of ministry. So let me just say this to you, that there is a certain protection that will be on you until the moment that God says, I think it's your time to go. And there are times that God allows a person to go because there's a certain level of, he knows the future. So he knows what is best for that person. He knows what lies ahead in that person's life. So he allows them to go at the time they go, probably to protect them from something that would be coming in the future. Even the Bible says that the Lord allows a righteous person to go to protect them from the evil day that's coming. That's in my book. If you don't have my book, Why Did You Leave Us So Soon, which is about premature death, please go to our website at perrystone.org and order that, because it explains a lot of details that we won't cover on anything like this. Now, here's another story. Now, watch this carefully. Another story is that in the life of the Apostle Paul, I want you to notice the times he escaped from danger. Acts 9:25, they were going to arrest him and probably have him killed, but in Acts 9:25, they lower him in a basket in Damascus over a wall, and he escapes premature death. This is after his conversion to Christ. In Acts 14, verse 19, Paul is stoned in the city of Lystra and he is left for dead. I mean, he's stoned. I mean, in a Jewish stoning, your head got hit, your bones were broken. Yet the disciples prayed for him and he came back. And the next day he went to another city, which is a complete miracle of God. The third time he came near death was he was beaten and imprisoned in Acts 16, 22 through 23. And the Bible says three times he was beaten with rods, and all three times he survived that. Some people didn't. You know, they would beat him near the point of death and let him survive, but some people didn't survive. Paul did. And that's another example where he survived. The third example of Paul surviving was Acts 27. He survived a shipwreck where the entire ship was completely destroyed, and yet he survived. Then he survived the bite of a dangerous viper in Acts 28, 3 through 5. So here's what I'm trying to say. There's five examples with Paul where he could have died, but he did not. Here's my point. This is the title of my message. If the enemy could have killed Jesus before the cross, he would have. If the enemy could have killed Paul before he got his ministry started, he would have. But Jesus said this. Here's the full verse. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Revelation chapter 1, 17 through 18. So here's what you need to understand. I've heard people say this before to ministers. They would tell a minister who was a very strong preacher of the word, they would say something like this. Be very, very careful of preaching against certain subjects because they'll put a curse on you. The enemy will put a hex on you. And I've heard that, but listen to what the, go back to the Bible. You know, what you fear can happen, but what you don't fear won't happen. I'm just telling you, don't be afraid of some of these things. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. Just as the Passover lamb's blood in Exodus 12 of an earthly lamb on the left, right, and center post of a house on the outside protected the firstborn child, the firstborn son in the home of the Hebrew, Christ's blood that was shed on the cross protects a believer from sin and death, but also protects a believer from spoken curses. Christ said in Revelation chapter 12, 11, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Now, your words can be idle. They can be, that word idol is not like an idol that people worship. It means worthless. It can be useless. Yet we are told by the word of God that what we should be doing is we should be saying things that are edifying. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, the things that are of a good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8, Proverbs 23:7, as a man, and that's a man or woman, thinks in their heart, so is he. Because out of the heart proceeds all of these negative things Jesus taught. See, you can spend all of your life dwelling on people's opinions and people's reports. Many of them are false. They report things that aren't even in existence as though they're fact. And they did it to Jesus. They said he's a devil. They said he's a fake. They said he's a liar. They said he was a blasphemer. So the people that believed that were never blessed by his ministry, never healed. The sick were never touched because they were in unbelief. So I want to tell you something. It's just like, let me just take you to the book of Job real quick. In the book of Job, Job was continually offering sacrifices on the altar in the event that his children had cursed God, Job 1, 4, and 5. Satan saw Job, that he was afraid that his children had cursed God, so he said, wonder if I could get Job himself to curse God. So he said to God, Satan did, he said, if you will take everything he's got from him, he'll curse you. Well, Satan was allowed to take everything Job had, and he didn't curse him. Then he was allowed to afflict his health, and Job still didn't curse him. Job did not curse God. So here's the thing. In Job 3:25, Job said this, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I'm afraid of is coming to me. So the thing he feared was, my sons may have cursed God in their heart. Guess what? That's what Job was afraid of, and that's what Satan focused on. Now, several years ago, I was flying back from Madisonville, Kentucky to Chattanooga, Tennessee, in a 421 airplane, 10,000 feet in the air, 20 minutes from Chattanooga, and the right engine failed. The starter adapter, we found out later, broke off, went into the engine, and the gears were eaten up. And my pilot called for a mayday, and they basically said to us, there's an airport near you if you can get to it. Well, he would have had to make a turn and done all this other stuff, and they said, there's nobody there. We don't know, you know, what you'll do when you get there. So to make a long story short, we began to pray, and as we were praying, I didn't know if the plane was going to crash and that would be the night I would go. I began to fight fear with knowing that I had things God told me to do that were not fulfilled. I was in the middle of building the Omega Center International. I was in the middle of writing a study Bible, and the Lord told me to do it. So I began to reason in faith. If the Lord told me to do it, how can I go when my assignment's not finished? And I began to pray that prayer of, my assignment's not done, I will not pass away in this plane. And God was merciful and gracious to hear the prayer, and we were able to land the plane without any damage to the plane. Yes, you know, as far as the engine, but no damage to myself or the pilot. I want to encourage you by saying this to you. If Satan could have taken you, he would have already done it. But remember, he does not own the keys of death or even hell. Jesus has the keys, and you're going to go when he's ready on his time. I have something very special for you that the Lord has put in my heart. It's a book, it's two audio CDs, and a bonus single CD, and it is a special family package. First is our book, The Meal That Heals, Enjoying Intimate Daily Communion with God. I'm going to show you proof that God heals today. I'm going to show you how the early church celebrated daily communion from house to house and how we can restore the practice. I'm going to show you the greatest hindrance to receiving your healing and how to remove it. I'm going to teach you the in-depth Hebrew and Greek that deals with how God can change your spirit, heal your body, and extend your days in this powerful book, The Meal That Heals. I also have a two CD album. Now, this is 2 hours of teaching on two CDs, Keys to Praying for Prodigal Children. Everybody I'm talking to right now has a child, a grandchild. Sometimes it's a husband and wife that will not attend the house of God. I have discovered spiritual and biblical keys of how to pray and what to pray for when you're believing and interceding for the salvation of a prodigal child or an unsaved, backslid family member. We prayed for my son, and after 20 years of praying for addiction to be broken, God broke it, and now he's working for the ministry, and we're so glad and happy for what God has done. I have to teach you the keys that God taught me of how to pray for your prodigal children. Now, I've also included another bonus CD, Children in the Devil's Playhouse. You know, there's Christians that allow their children to have occult games or watch occult cartoons or occult movies that open up a door to spirits in their home. I met a man one time whose son was having seizures, but I found out that he had allowed him to watch a movie about a girl being totally demon-possessed. It opened up a fear, and it literally opened up a spirit of epilepsy. The boy was prayed for, and God completely delivered him. I need to teach you how the enemy is getting into your home and into your children's life through things happening inside your house. Now, this offer is offer CH-152, and I'm asking you to help us stay on manifest with a $25 gift or more, and ask for this offer, CH-152. You can go online at perrystone.org. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD, or you can send a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, C37320, and request offer 152. We need your help to stay on the air. So God bless you. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you for watching the program. I need to tell you this. You know, some of the things I share with you are by personal experience that God has showed me over the years. And we had to pray for my son Jonathan for years because there was a very serious addiction in his life that just seemed it wouldn't break. And there were prayers that God gave us, and there were techniques of prayer. And I know that sounds strange to call it a technique, and there were certain things that God showed me. And this is very important. If you have any child or grandchild family member that's just not following the Lord, this is worth getting. Keys to Praying for Prodigal Children. That's 2 hours of teaching. Children in the Devil's Playhouse. This deals with the things that children are watching and seeing that can open up the door to spirits. And this is The Meal That Heals. This is, if you need any kind of healing, if you're believing God for it, this was a book the Lord gave us some time back that talks about how receiving the Lord's Supper or communion can bring healing into your life. And I base all this on history from the church, the early church, and the Bible. Great faith builder. So this is the package. It's a brand new offer. And here's what's important. It's only going to be for just a very few weeks. It's not going to be the normal lengthy offer because we have something else coming up shortly. So get it while it's available. Now, I shared with you last week that we will have registration open for Warrior Fest coming up, which is the end of March. It's going to be a great, powerful time. I hope we can show the pictures, a little bit of who's coming. This doesn't tell the whole story, but it gives you the basics. And then we're coming to the International Summit at the end of April. And this is like 14 services. This is a overdose of scripture, revelation, insight, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, or prophetic things. And we have great new speakers coming this year. I'm very excited about the world's leading Greek scholar Rick Renner coming to join me for several services. Jeremiah Johnson, Dr. Bryant Cutshaw for the first time is there, along with Bill Cloud, Jonathan Kahn, myself. So don't miss the summit. And again, registration will be opened at the beginning of the year. And I mentioned last week, February 15th, Bill Cloud and I are doing something special from the studio. This is a registered event as well. We'll be telling you about it. We'll be telling you how to get in on it. And what this is inside information. And Bill is going to be dealing with answering the questions that have come up by two of the leading podcasters in the world who have been critical of Christians supporting Israel. But Bill's going to tackle that. I'm going to tackle some inside things as well that will not come out on YouTube manifest or anything else. This is a private viewing only. And so we'll tell you about that later. February 15th. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.